Blog Talk Radio.
The All About You show is brought to you in part by Vera Heart Coaching and Mindscape, the art of transformation.
Hi, and welcome to this week's edition of the All About You show. My name is Karen Sullivan, your hostess for this evening. Today is Thursday, September 24th. I cannot believe September is nearly over in 6 days. And the weather is beautiful here in the Midwest, and everything is going to start turning, and we're going to get to see all that beautiful fall foliage shortly. And with the fall equinox that we just celebrated a few days ago, that ties right in with our guest tonight, who is an incredible person. I've had the opportunity to work with her, and I feel very, very humbled with the work that she does. Her name is Jennifer Monahan, and among many things, she's a master of many hats, but she is a shaman, and we're going to learn about shamanism tonight, along with things that she does as a certified life and energy coach, and she's also a natural health educator. And Jennifer, welcome to the show. How are you tonight?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Oh, I'm so excited that you're here. This is I've been interested in shamanism for so very long, and it is nice to actually get to talk with one and have one work on you. And I do appreciate that. And I want to share with the listening audience, and if anybody wants to call in and ask Jennifer any questions, the number is 657-383-0081, and she'll be happy to answer any questions that you have. But Jennifer, tell us about how you became a shaman. I love this story.
Sure. Yeah. If you had asked me several years ago what a shaman was, I wouldn't even have known. I would have said, a what? I've always been an intuitive person, and have been very interested in natural health and how the body is so capable of healing itself. But a few years ago, I went on a long overdue vacation to Mexico by myself, and was in the Yucatan. For whatever reason, the Mayan ruins were just calling to me, and I planned an entire two-week vacation where I could go from ruin to ruin and just explore and admire these incredible sites.
Mm-hmm. I've been there. It's beautiful.
Oh, they're gorgeous.
It is. Yes, it is. It's one of my most favorite places on the planet.
Yeah, words can't even describe how awe-inspiring these sites are with their pyramids and how the Mayans actually, you know, they're renowned for their astronomy as well as mm-hmm. mathematics. They are the culture that invented the number zero. And you get a strong sense of the spiritual impact or the spiritual nature of this past civilization, although the Mayans are still around, but obviously not living in pyramids. In any event, on my third day there, my cab driver had suggested I go downtown to the center of town, where there was some traditional dancing that was going to be, you know, a free outdoor dance event. So I started walking. I got lost, which is normal for me. I get mm-hmm. lost backing out of my driveway. And this very nice man started talking to me and asked me where I was going, and he offered to walk me there, and we walked and we talked. He was telling me about his wife, and they're expecting their first child, and before we knew it, we were in the center of town at the green where the dancing was. And he said to me, I need to introduce you to somebody. And he led me around the corner from the green to this shop and introduced me to a Mayan shaman. And the shaman looked at me, and the first thing he said to me was, you have a very big heart. What do you do to make your heart so big? And before I could even answer, he then took my hand in his, and he He curled his fingers around mine so our fingers spiraled. And he said, this is the mark of a shaman. And then he proceeded to tell me about shamanism, how he was called to it. He was actually born into a family of shamans, the signs that made it known that he was to be a shaman. And then he said, I'm going to do a healing on you. I said, okay. To be truthful, I was a little nervous because while it was only my third day in Mexico, I had already discovered that most places don't take credit cards, and I didn't have too much cash on me. But he did a four-hour healing on me in this store. And
wow.
It consisted of so many different aspects. He did energy work. He chanted. He drummed. At one point, he said to me, your energy is blocked in this area and that area. And then he proceeded to tell me the life events that had caused the blockage in detail. So at that point, I realized he was, you know, the real deal, as opposed to somebody who's, you know, trying to take tourists for a ride.
Right. Now, what do you mean, like current life events that led to the blockage?
No, one of them was from when I was a toddler.
Okay.
And another one was from about 15 years ago.
Okay, so it happened in this lifetime, things that he knew about
Sorry,
you.
Yes.
Okay.
He took a quick break from the healing at one point. We went across the street to Mexico's version of a 7-Eleven and bought two raw eggs and then went back, and he took the eggs and he kind of, you know, they were whole. He had me shake them and everything, and then he ran them all over my body, just kind of lightly skimmed them over my skin and my, you know, my top and everything like that. And when he was done, he said, the eggs have absorbed a lot of the energy that you needed to release. And he had me shake the eggs again, and it was like they were filled with rocks. It was the most amazing thing.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
And he said, if we were in a place where we could have broken the eggs open, we were in a retail store, the insides would either be like a blood red or a black. So that was pretty impressive. And then he finished it. As he finished his work, I just had this amazing release of energy that needed to come out and all of the emotions with it, anger, guilt, sadness, joy, you know, all of these feelings all rolled up into one. It was
life-changing. That's a mixed bag all at once.
It is, and I can't even begin to describe how it feels to have joy and guilt and anger all at the same moment, but they needed to come out, and at the end of the healing, I felt more whole than I had ever felt in my entire life. We met throughout the trip. He said, I want to meet with you again, and we met a couple nights later. He just wanted to check in and see how I was doing. On my last night of the trip, he came. I had left the Yucatan at that point and was over in the Cancun area. He came to see me, and he brought me a stone carving figure, I guess is what you'd call it, of Itzamna, who is the Mayan god of creation associated with the sun. It was carved from a sacred Mayan cave from a stalactite that was at least 1 million years old. The carving itself is around 800 or so years old. And it had been used by him. Yeah. It had been used by him and his predecessors for shamanic ceremonies. And he gave it to me. And I asked him why he was giving it to me, because it's obviously a very spiritual and important thing for him. And he said, because you're to become a shaman. I've been waiting for you to show up.
Oh,
and that's how I really started on my path.
That is, what an amazing story. And so this 800-year-old stone figure,
mm-hmm.
carved from a stalactite. What is it that it's carved? What is the figure carved into?
It's carved into the head of Itzamna, the Mayan god of creation. It's roughly triangular shaped. Itzamna is associated with the sun, creation, corn, which to the Mexicans, obviously, and the Mayans was their creation story. Man is made out of corn, so it's an integral part of their culture. He's also the god associated with giving them the gift of writing. So he's a pretty important deity. His counterpart, Itzel, is the Itzel is the moon goddess. It's it's about 8 inches tall, and it's solid.
That's incredible, absolutely incredible. You know that that says an awful lot about you. Number one, that this antiquity, you know, is especially from that culture, was given to you to lead you on your path to shamanism. You know, what an honor
humbling
that is. Yes, I can imagine.
Yeah, I'll tell you, traveling home with it, I was terrified that it would get, I had to check my bag. They wouldn't let me carry it on the plane, and I was terrified that my bag would get lost or it would get broken, because I knew how unique and valuable a gift it was.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you, when you work with people, do you use this carving, or what does this carving do for you now?
Yeah. So the carving is on my altar, and when I do a shamanic session for anybody, I start even before I have the call or meet with the client in front of my altar and ask for their help, including Itzamna's help. Basically, when I do a healing, I travel to one of three, I'm going to say, spiritual worlds. There is the upper world. The upper world is how most people envision heaven, right? There's clouds. A lot of the ascended masters are up in that area. So, you know, Archangel Michael or Buddha or Itzamna, any ascended masters, gods, angels, et cetera, are typically in the upper world.
Right.
It is a safe, loving space, and everybody in the upper world wants to help us humans heal and evolve spiritually. The other place I could go to is the lower world. The lower world is not hell. The lower world is, I'm going to say, a nature-based world. It's beautiful. There's trees, there's flowers, there's waterfalls, ocean. It is probably a perfect representation of what our planet looks like. And that is filled with helping animal guides, as well as other beings that perhaps people think of as being only in fairy tales. So gnomes and fairies and unicorns all exist, mermaids, they all exist down there in the lower world. It, too, is a loving, nurturing place where the beings in there also want to help us humans evolve. The third world is the middle world, which is the world we exist in today. It,
mm-hmm.
too, has a spiritual side, and that spiritual side has helping spirits. If you're familiar with the Native American traditions, they talk about, you know, how their ancestors continue to look over and watch over them. A lot of times they stay in the middle world and help guide and provide insights to their offspring. The middle world has a mix of positive and negative energies and beings in it, so it's a little bit more, you have to be a little bit more cautious when you're working in the middle world. But depending on the work that I'm doing for somebody, I start by calling in Itzamna and other helping spirits, and then I go to the world I need to go to accomplish what needs to be done for my client.
Okay. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. You and I had a session because of a very rare allergy that I have. And I think I'm like the 13th person on the planet to be diagnosed with something so rare. And it's an allergy to water and how my skin reacts to water. And you, it was very, I don't even know that I have words to describe, you know, and at times I think I even shared with you at times, is like I could hear some of the words that you were saying,
mm-hmm.
And I felt just very super relaxed. I felt very good, and then, you know, I went and rather than just going in just for, you know, a few minutes into, you know, a shower, because I'm like the queen of under 3 minutes, you know. And even then it's heavily medicated. And it was such an indescribable feeling to be in the water and not have a reaction like I had been having. I mean, I cannot even begin to tell you how much that journey meant to me. And, I mean, you've given me a portion, huge portion of my life back, because I live for water. You know, I live to be in the water, whether it's in the ocean or the lake or a pool, shower, whatever form of water, I want to be in it. And to have not been able to partake in it the way I want to was is indescribable how that feels, and the emotions that you go through and the anxiety that you get, and all of that is completely gone. So thank you so much for that.
You're welcome.
You know, and truly, truly, truly humbled by your ability and what you do. And it was an amazing, amazing experience.
Well, I'm thrilled that you're feeling so much better and that you're able to take a shower.
Yes, I know,
I mean,
right?
Simple things in life, but I had shared with you I was hit by a car late about a year ago, and being able to take out my own trash was a big victory for me when I was finally able to do that.
Right.
I will say, you know, the healing is a joint effort. I merely serve as a conduit. And for you, you know, when I did my shamanic journey, as I mentioned to you, there were a lot of helping spirits who came and worked on you with me. What I've found as I do this work is that my best training comes from my helping spirit. So I've had training from the shaman down in Mexico. I've taken some shamanic courses as well. But when I go on a journey and I'm working with a client who has something going on, such as an allergy to water, my helping spirits also guide me and say, try this or consider doing this. And we try new things, and usually it has some really good results. So they're bringing their ideas too.
Mm-hmm. I know that you are getting ready to do an incredible journey of your own. And most likely will not be taking any clients for the next, like for the month of October, correct?
Correct. I'm taking a little sabbatical for the next month.
Good. Yes. Yeah, and that's what a wonderful sabbatical that's going to be for you. I can't wait to hear that journey. I truly can't. And hopefully see some pictures of the places that you're going to. But for somebody who maybe wants to schedule a session with you when you get back, do you want to give out your phone number? Or because I do have you up, your website, can they connect with you via your website as well?
Yes, so there's a couple ways that folks can reach me. My website is spiritevolution.co. There's no M at the end, it's just .co. And there is an email address on there that I can be reached through. Or my cell phone, which is 203-494-4769. I will not have cell phone access for the next month, but I can retrieve the message when I come back.
Perfect, yeah. So, yeah, just take note of that, and she'll be rescheduling, you know, starting to schedule you know, in November. So now when you are, because you, I've got so many words I want to, so many questions I want to ask you. They're all coming out of my mouth all at the same time.
Fire away.
You know, yeah, because there's a statement, you know, that you had made, and I think it's in your bio, where healing is not a passive activity, that we each need to take responsibility for our own well-being.
Yes. Yes, that is very true. You know, if you think about it, and it's funny, next week's blog post that I have ready to go is all about this.
Mm-hmm.
Healing occurs on multiple levels, and the nice thing about shamanism is it works to help an individual start the healing process at all levels. There's the physical body. There's the emotional body, the mental body, and the spiritual body.
Mm-hmm.
The physical body is probably the easiest one of all, right? If you think about it, if you're running and you fall and you skin your knee, your body goes to work right away, and it's, you know, making the blood stop flowing, it, you know, rebuilding cells, it's scabbing over, it's doing whatever it needs to do so that your skin knee heals.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Often,
you don't have to think
however,
about healing your knee. It just heals itself because the body innately knows what it needs to do to heal.
Exactly, and you just have to allow it. And maybe you have to do some special things like have extra water or sunshine or rest or whatever, but the body just goes about and does its thing. One thing that I've learned as I've been doing this work is it is extremely rare for any type of illness or disease to be purely physical. Matter of fact, the only examples I can think of is like a paper cut or, you know, skinning your knee while you're playing as a kid. But most of the time, our illnesses also have a tie to our emotional, our mental, or our spiritual bodies.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if you think about depression, right?
Mm-hmm.
Depression obviously has ties to your emotional body as well as your mental body. It may manifest itself in a number of physical ways, such as, you know, not having energy or even becoming run down and getting colds and flu and other types of illnesses over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
But if we think about depression, there is a root cause that needs to be uncovered. And through a shamanic journey, I meet with my guides and they give me insights into what that root cause is. And it can vary, right? But it may be, and I'm not citing any specific client right now, I'm just talking in generalities, but it may be that somebody doesn't love themselves. And so
mm-hmm.
therefore there's feelings of unworthiness and self-hatred, and that manifests as depression, which then turns into some physical illnesses. When I come back from a journey, and I know you experienced this when we worked together, I
mm-hmm.
usually come back with some kind of message from the universe that says, here's really what you need to heal. And if you can focus on that and work on healing that, and by the way, we'll get it kick-started here while we're doing the shamanic journey, but if you can continue to do the work to heal that, these other things will start to heal themselves as well.
Mm-hmm.
For somebody who has a problem with loving themselves, it can be, you know, what do you need to shift? Do you need to begin taking better care of yourself physically? Is that the path for you? Or is it that you need to retrain your mind and have your mind start to think good things about yourself rather than negative things about yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Or
sure.
do you need to shift your emotional body in some way, shape, or form? So you start to see how they're all interrelated.
Sure. Or
yeah.
is it a combination of all of them?
Yes, yes, because it, like I said, except for a paper cut or a skinned knee, I haven't seen
mm-hmm.
anything where it's just one.
Right.
The energy between these four bodies, if you would, flows both ways. So if you start to shift one body, for example, start your morning every day looking in the mirror and say, I love you, to yourself
uh-huh.
and truly meaning it, you'll find that your emotions start to shift and you start to feel more happy and joyful. And then your energy starts to increase and your physical body starts to react. So there is a ripple effect.
Yes. I use that with my clients. I have them start with the mirror exercise a week before they even come and see me. And it's phenomenal, the change within themselves, you know, before they even get here, you know, because they learn that, you know, that they are in fact worthy and that, you know, they don't give themselves enough credit. And, you know, because we have so many social pressures to look a certain way or to be a certain weight or to have, you know, whatever it is. And when we don't fit that mold, we feel less than. And so, you know, and I was honestly surprised to learn that there were more men with that issue than there were women. And that struck me, you know.
That strikes me as well.
I thought it would be mostly women. And I started a group a long time ago, and that's how we started it. And was, you know, we spent a week on, you know, learning, you know, retraining ourselves, you know, and knowing that we're worthy and standing in the mirror. And you have to eyeball yourself, you know. And it's so hard to do, you know. I've even, when I've heard people, you know, like friends of mine say something, I march them into a bathroom, I say, see this mirror?
Look at yourself and say you love yourself.
That's right, you know. And it is. It makes a huge, huge difference, you know. And when I did that journey, oh, my gosh, you know, back in the 90s, it was like a huge weight was lifted, you know, off my shoulders. You know, it's like, well, wait a minute. If I'm not going to declare myself worthy, nobody else is going to, you know. So, I totally get that. And I agree with that 100%. You know, loving yourself is, I think, the key to an awful lot.
Yes. It's actually the starting point. And you know, unfortunately, we're our own worst critics. But if you can tap into that spark of love inside of you and just let it flow out through you, you can shift to that thinking and realize just how lovable a human being you are, and really the fact that you are basically just love, which is what we all are, and we're just here in human bodies to experience other emotions and to learn and grow. But identifying that spark and then tapping into it is what will make the shift for folks.
Right. I agree with that. Now, what is the difference between, or is there any relation at all? And I think the answer is no, but between Reiki and shamanism?
There's, I'd say there's some. My personal belief is that all of these different healing modalities start with the core, and the core is the same, which is we're all energy beings. Shamanism is the world's oldest healing modality. It has been found in every single indigenous culture around the world. What's interesting is that even though these cultures didn't know one another, you know, there's no Facebook or TV or anything 10,000 years ago, they all practice very similar approaches to shamanic healing. So they all believe in some type of, and experienced some type of upper, middle, and lower world. They might have had different names for it. So you hear about the tree of life with the branches, the trunk, and the roots, which is big over in Europe, or even in Mexico, they have the ceiba tree, right, which is integral to their culture. But they all start from that foundation that we're energy beings and that we can energetically connect with these three worlds to get healing and insights. Reiki as you know, is an energy healing modality. So it may have some differences than, say, shamanic healing, but the core is still very similar. When I do a shamanic healing on somebody, depending on the situation, I may go in and remove negative energy that, you know, I think of them as like thorns, right, that are in people, that have been conclusions that have been stuck into somebody. I go and dig them out, right? Reiki does something very similar.
Right.
Once I've dug out the negative energy, then you need to fill it up with positive energy because nature abhors a vacuum, and if we just leave a hole, there's a risk that negative energy could come back. So let's fill it up with positive light and love. Again, Reiki does something very similar. So I'd say they're complementary, slightly different focus, but very complementary.
Interesting. Is I love both modalities, but I was going to say, you know, because of, well, I guess it is kind of the same thing. So, you know, I was thinking about the symbols, you know, whatever symbols that you're given, you know, when you are going through your classes and, you know, and experiencing the different levels of Reiki, you know, those are symbols that are personal to you, just like the spirits that you work with would be personal for you, the ones that come in and help you. So, I could see where that is very similar and not dissimilar, like I was thinking.
Yeah, and, yeah, you know, so, I think for both of them, the end result is the practitioner is coming from a place of divine love and looking to heal.
Right. Yeah, and I think whatever modality that one chooses for healing, as long as they recognize, you know, that it's all their choice in which way that they go. And once they have a belief in that mission, then healing can begin. And, you know, that like as if you, if one says, you know, believes in, what we call modern medicine, then that would be the route to go for them. But if one is more into a holistic approach, then modern medicine truly doesn't work for that person. And more than likely, you know, could make situations worse if their belief system wasn't in that it worked. Right. So
the mind is an incredible tool to be used for healing. And if that person doesn't believe that something is going to work, I don't care if it is tried and tested 100% work rate, it doesn't matter. It won't work on that person because they have already rejected it mentally, and then therefore the rest of the body will reject it as well.
Exactly. That's like with hypnosis. You can't make anybody do anything that they don't want to do. You know, you can't. If somebody, say a smoker, didn't want to quit smoking, there's nothing that a hypnotherapist can do to make them quit smoking. They have to be, you know, wanting to make the change. They have to be, you know, a part of their own change.
It goes back,
you know,
to
and it's all
participate in your healing.
Exactly. You know, now you do several other different things that are very noteworthy, you have a master's degree in natural health.
I do.
And is that, what does that entail?
Yeah, well, basically, I've studied a number of the naturopathic healing modalities, as well as diet and nutrition, exercise, herbal remedies, that type of complementary, or some folks call it alternative health methods. I bring that with me when I'm doing my shamanic work, and I also combine it with the energy coaching work. So going back to the example I shared about, you know, somebody who the root cause of their disease is that they don't love themselves. Obviously, making a change where you love yourself doesn't happen overnight. It's not just like you wake up and say, okay, now I'm going to love myself. There's work associated
right.
with it. So I bring in the natural health degree, I bring in the coaching, and then work with my clients over a period of time to help them fully integrate whatever the message and the teaching is that the spirit world has shared. So
right.
for somebody who doesn't love themselves, you know, it's maybe the mirror exercise or a number of other things. And, you know, we meet every other week or so and we talk about the changes that are occurring. I bring in the energy and the shamanic healing aspect throughout the whole thing. So we're tuning in, we're getting more messages, we're refining, and then we're making it actionable.
Mm-hmm. Incredible. Incredible. And you know, and I love that, you know, it's the comment, it's not going to happen overnight, you know, because you didn't get there overnight.
No.
Getting back to where you feel good and you come from a place of joy and you love yourself and, you know, you're living your life by your design, you know, that does, it does take time. And, you know, and I think the big message is it does take time and it takes focus. You know, and we are constantly choosing, you know, how we feel in each and every moment in any given situation. So, you know, are we falling off our wagon or are we pulling our wagon a little bit closer towards the point that we really want to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's probably key in just about everything. You know, and because you can very, very simply, like for somebody in your example who didn't love themselves one bad day, you know, could have them shaken off their rocker and, you know, and yeah, I'm not, you know, lovable when I'm not this and I'm not that. And, you know, and I think it has to do with being aware of your feeling and your thinking and connecting the two, and then you've got a piece of your puzzle. And then when you're connecting your thinking and your feeling and you have that piece, and then you can connect that to where you're being led and what is happening in your life in order to make, you know, the changes that you need to bring all of these things to you that you're seeking, you know, that the, you know, this realization of self-love, you know, you're stepping into your personal power or reclaiming your power or, you know, finding joy on a regular basis as opposed to, you know, whenever, you know, it finds you rather than looking for it on your own, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So there's all of these key pieces that you have to that you utilize with your clients, both on a personal level and at a corporate level.
Yes.
And bringing all of that in, I can imagine that, you know, those that you are working with on a regular basis, that you've seen them make leaps and bounds in their life that, you know, just are utterly amazing to bear witness to.
It is a gift to be able to observe that. You know, I think for most of my clients, it starts with mindfulness and awareness. So
mm-hmm.
going back to the self-love, you know, starting to be aware of the mind chatter, right, that says the negative things or makes you believe bad, you know, bad things about yourself. And at first, you know, if we use just that as an example, it's 100% negative. And then over time, we see it go to 90% and then 75%. And then, you know, at some point, you can get it down to maybe 5%. You may never fully get past a little bit of negativity, but if you can catch it and be mindful and aware and say, oh, that's that little part of me that likes to doubt whatever I'm doing. I need to now reframe my thinking. At that point, when you've gotten to that point, then I'm going to say you're healed of not loving yourself, right?
Right, because you're paying attention.
Exactly, exactly.
You know, you're paying attention. Just toss that chatter in a big old chest and wrap a chain around it and say, I'm done with you now.
Right, right.
You know, but you know what, and you bring up a very good point, you know, depending on where you are in your life, I mean, those are great tools, and say you get it down to even 25% of where you're paying attention to what you're thinking and doing, and, you know, and you've got this standing in your power and living life through your heart, and you're in love with yourself, you know, then comes along another lesson to learn.
It never ends.
Exactly. So it's not like a plaque that you hang on the wall forevermore and say, yes, I am, you know, self-love, and
right.
I don't have to pay attention to that anymore. I mean, that's something that you constantly, constantly, constantly have to nurture, like a gardener, you know, and yanking out those weeds and saying no, you know, and because if, you know, if your very best friend talked to you the way that, you know, that if our best friends talk to us the way that we sometimes talk to ourselves, we would be, all right, done with you.
Yeah, we wouldn't be friends,
you know,
anymore.
Exactly. So why do we take it from ourselves, do you think?
Oh, that's a tough one. You know, I think part of it is exactly what you said before. We are inundated with messages and images of what we should be, right? We should look a certain way. We should dress a certain way. If you go to Facebook, very few people are real and transparent in what they're really feeling. Everybody's posting the happy pictures. Here I am on vacation. Here I am doing this wonderful thing. And nobody's saying, here I am on an average day and I'm just kind of chugging along. I mean, or I'm even having a bad day and I need some reassurance. It takes a strong person to be willing to show that side of themselves. So
sure.
As we look around, we're seeing a fabricated world and a fabricated reality that says, you're not good enough. And
right.
You know, you hear a message long enough and you start to believe it. I mean, the flip side is true. You start to reprogram yourself and say, I'm lovable and I'm amazing and I'm wonderful. You start to believe that as well.
Right.
But unfortunately,
right.
A lot of people don't know that simple truth and don't know that they have the power within them to make that drastic of a change.
Mm-hmm. And it just, you know what, it seems like it's drastic, but really, don't you think, you know, it's just taking that first step.
It's taking the first step. The results can be incredible, though.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. It may seem oh, my God, I'm never going to get there, you know, but just taking the first step and letting that, you know, that chatter go to the wayside, because, you know, everybody is worth that. There's not one person on the planet that's not worth that, you know, and even people who we think aren't worth that. That's when we need to send them, you know, love and healing and, you know, and just because, you know, you don't want to wish anyone ill, you know. You want to wish them the very best that you would ever wish for yourself, you know. See, my philosophy is I think we're now at like 7 billion people on the planet, okay? And so that makes, for me, 7 billion different realities. There's nobody that is walking your life. There's nobody that's walking my life. There's nobody in my head thinking my thoughts. I'm thinking my thoughts, you know? And so when people tell me that I have to look at reality, I say, whose reality do you want me to look at?
Yeah.
You know? Because I can look at anybody's reality and, you know, and sometimes I can see how they got there and other times I can't because I can't relate to where they are in their life, you know. It would be like going to an Aboriginal tribe, and thank God that they are still around, and showing them a television set or
right.
binoculars, you know, or something like that, they would not have a clue, right?
They would be so far out of their perspective of the world, it would, they might not even see it, quite frankly.
Right, right, exactly, exactly my point. So when people are at polar opposites on the planet, you know, and each screaming at one another, look at the reality, it's like, no, wait a minute. whose reality? Because mine is so vastly different than
right.
anybody else's on the planet, and thank God for that, because,
well,
you know,
I don't know too many
people who want the majority of my reality.
You know, I was going to say 7 billion people, 7 billion realities, but also 7 billion unique beings that have gifts
yes.
that they can bring. So,
yes.
you know, we can pick any problem that exists in the world today, you know, war, global warming, hunger, poverty, pick a problem.
Right.
There are 7 billion different ideas on how to fix it. And
exactly.
You bring together the right group and miracles can happen.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Sure. You know, and it's incredible. I wish, you know, for my children and my children's children, you know, that they not compare themselves to other kids in school, because they're not other kids. They're themselves.
Right.
They are their own unique, you know, little creatures. And, you know, and they have their own talents.
That's
and
right.
their own gifts, and to tune into that and not look to see what somebody else's gift is, you know. And if it's something that they're gifted at and you want to try it, then by all means do it. But, you know, find your
yeah.
place very early in life. Find out who you are and what you like. So that way, when you're an adult, you're not going, whose reality do I follow? You know,
yeah.
I want you to be a trailblazer.
Well, and you know, that goes back to the, even what we were talking about with self-love is
mm-hmm.
society, and it varies by society, places different value on different gifts. And so one society may value artists very highly, and another one may value mathematicians, making these up, right, very highly. And one individual who may not have the gift for what's valued the most highest may start to have feelings of self-doubt and self-worth. And so I think the more an individual can get in touch with who they really are, love themselves, and then see the value of the gifts that they bring,
mm-hmm.
regardless of what society says,
right.
Or that person can blossom and really have
sure.
an impact.
Sure. Yeah, but then who is society? You know, we all talk about society. I've never met society in all of my years on this planet. I have yet to meet society who makes up all these rules that we all have to follow. It's like, wait a minute, what?
True. True.
I don't get it. Who is? Let me talk to society. I got some words for society, you know, because it just is like, well, who are you? You know, I have yet to meet them, you know, and I really wish for today's youth and young people is that they, you know, my greatest wish is that they learn to trust their inner voice within and follow that and lead with their heart, not so much, you know, let their intuition guide them, you know, their gut instinct or what, you know, whatever it is that, you know, people want to label it. But you know what, just follow their own path and not be so worried about anybody else. And I think it would be a much happier planet if that happened, you know.
I agree. And, you know, taking it back to shamanism for a second.
Yes, please.
Everybody has the capability to be a shaman. Everybody has the capability to tune into the spirit world, guides, their gut, their heart wisdom, whatever it is you want to call it. Everybody has that capability. And the more people, and this is part of what I like to do with my shamanic work, the more that I can help people connect with their higher selves and with their guides, with their gut, their heart wisdom, whatever you want to call it, the more healing is going to occur on this planet. People will become more authentic human beings. They will realize their purpose, and they'll start living that purpose. And by doing so, we'll have joy, which is really what I think we all want.
Right. Yes. I resonate with that statement, when my mom had a near-death experience, and I asked her, what was it like? And her first reaction as she was out of her body, floating above the paramedics who were trying to save her life. And my mother was a nurse, and she was probably, watching what they were doing to make sure they were doing it right. But her, the very first thought, and I've told this story a zillion times, and I can't emphasize it enough, okay? I asked her, I said, okay, so you're, probably the only person I'm ever going to have this opportunity to ask, so what was it like, when you had died? And and she said, well, my first realization was that, wow, did I get fat? And I started laughing so hard. And I'm like, you're kidding me, right? And I'm like, here you are at what they call the bridge between this life and, the beyond. I want to know what the beyond is. Is it a tunnel of light? Did you see your parents? Did you see dad? Did you see, your cousins? Did you? And she said, no, I was looking at myself. And then I had this realization, my message for me was that I wasted too much time on things that did not matter. And my whole entire life should have been about seeking joy and doing things that made me happy. And it is a very powerful message, and I took that to heart, and it's like, it's not about what's going on in the world and things you can't fix. It's not about the number of times you've been around the sun, or the number that's on your scale, or anything like that. You're not a number, you're a spiritual being having a human experience. Find the things that make you happy and do that, and live, a joyful purpose. And so that when you get to the point, that it's time to leave this plane for the next, you can look back and say, hot damn, what a ride that was, exactly. And have you ever, Jennifer, made a meal when you were angry?
No, I haven't, but I know what happens, which is horrible because it absorbs that energy.
Yes, don't ever cook when you're angry.
No. I do a lot of baking, and every time before I bake, I pause and give gratitude, and I pour love into everything I bake. Because it's truly it reflects what we're feeling.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, it really, really does. And when you, I found that when I'm doing things because I feel like I have to do them, they're not fun. Then it feels like work. So I've stopped doing things when it feels like I have to do them, and I do them when it makes me feel good to do them, if that makes sense.
That
I mean, it all gets done. It's just a change in attitude.
Again, there's the power of the mind, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, and it's and it then becomes a very powerful, purposeful life to live, you know, when you come from that perspective. And, you know, and it really is. It's the very small things. Truthfully, it's not the big things. It's the small things. It's that I wake up in the morning, number one. Now, well,
right.
That's actually kind of
right.
a huge thing. You know?
Yes.
But
and then
you know what I mean?
Attitude. Yeah, I do. It's the
yeah.
attitude and the way you approach the day.
Yes, yes, yes. And
yeah.
I get out of bed every single morning and I stretch and I'm like, thank you, thank you, thank you, you know, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and even if I didn't sleep the night before, I'm still saying thank you because, you know, I'm not ashes in the wind yet. And,
right.
you know, when I'm outside with my dog, you know, in the morning and I'm watching the sunrise or I'm watching the sunset or, you know, walking hand in hand with my husband or doing whatever, you know, it is that I'm doing, you know, I'm so grateful for those moments, you know, and to have that time. And now I'm even more grateful and have become a water hog of late because trying to make
I
up
love
for,
that.
You know, under 3 minutes in and out with a whole bunch of medicine, you know. And it's phenomenal, truthfully, very phenomenal. And I think the work that you do, and while everybody does have that ability to tap in and turn on, you know, their own inner healer, most can't get past themselves to do that. And it is nice to know somebody like you. And to have that there are people like you when science is completely befuddled by whatever is happening with people, you know. And I will tell you that they went back and forth up at the Mayo Clinic. They said it was the environment, you know. And
mm-hmm.
I'm like thinking, wow, you're like a real tree hugger because not too many doctors would say that, you know.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
you know, Monsanto and this, that, and the other thing and all the different things that are going on, you know, in our own environment, you know, has caused 2,000 new things a year at the Mayo Clinic that they've never seen before, and they don't even know where to begin,
yeah.
you know, and I'm one of those things. And, you know, that's kind of an honor, but not really.
There you go.
You
you're,
know?
You're trailblazing your own way, Karen.
Yes, but that's not the way I wanted to trailblaze, darling. So,
know.
You know, but I truly think if anybody is listening either now or they're going to listen to the archive, truthfully, think about this. Go to Jennifer's website at spiritevolution.co. There is no M. And check out her website. I love the ruins, the Mayan ruins, the old, I'm not sure which pyramid that is, if that's in Chichen Itza or somewhere else that you have there. But go to her website, learn and read, and then call her and make an appointment or send her an email. You know, if you have something that, you know, nobody else can help you with, try this. What do you got to lose? You know? In all
right.
honesty, you have absolutely nothing to lose, and you have your life to gain. And there's no better gift than that.
Thank you.
So I want to thank you so much for being my guest tonight. Will you come back and talk with me some more?
I would love to. I think we've
Yay.
Only scratched the surface. I would love to talk about power animals next time.
Oh, that would be great. I would love to talk about power animals. That would be awesome. Yes, please. And,
okay.
But in the meantime, thank you so much again. I want you to have a very joyous adventure for the next 30 days and truly, truly enjoy your time and the places that you're going. And I look forward to seeing a lot of pictures, all right?
Sounds good. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you. You have a great trip, and I will talk with you again soon.
Okay.
All right. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Well, that is it for tonight's episode of the All About You show. I hope you enjoyed Jennifer Monahan, who is a shaman. Phenomenal work that she does. Visit her website at spiritevolution.co. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.